Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Kyle Bailey, still joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com here in the McAdoo Studios every Friday, typically in the second hour, but of course we're out early today. 5:20 pregame, 5:30 first pitch, Virginia Tech hosting number 22, North Carolina. And you pointed this out to me. I'm sure Andrew Allegretta will have this nugget queued up for the game, but Virginia Tech has lost, what, 22 straight to North Carolina?
22 in a row and 30 of their last 31. Jacob Emmert wrote a little piece on baseball for us today, and when I was editing it, I saw those numbers, and this is baseball. You know how hard it is to lose to the same team 22 times in a row?
Even a program like North Carolina.
Of course, yeah.
It's really tough.
Texas had some really good teams over. I mean, that includes two NCAA tournament teams.
Well,
they got swept by North Carolina.
So what does that mean? That's just a series of sweep after sweep after sweep.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's unreal.
They haven't beat UNC since 2007 or something like that.
That is unreal.
Even the team 2 years ago that hosted a regional got swept by UNC. The 2010 team. It was a number 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, got swept by UNC. I mean, you would think you just, it's baseball, you know.
I know.
It's baseball.
I know, you would think so, but that's just.
Even the worst teams lose 40 or win 40% of the time in baseball.
And you said, interestingly, they haven't beaten them since 2007. That was when Virginia Tech's current pitching coach, Rob Woodard, was pitching at North Carolina. I mean, he isn't. When we use the word legend, you know, sometimes, like as it pertains to a program, Rob Woodard is a legend in North Carolina.
35-4 career record, winning his pitcher in Carolina.
I think they have a gigantic, like billboard poster
mural
of him still.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a legend.
He really is. So, Virginia Tech at number 22, North Carolina. That's coming up at 5:20 pregame, 5:30 first pitch, right here on Super Sports 101.7. We talked some football in the previous segment. We might get back to that. We might not. But I want to touch on some basketball news because Buzz Williams has been active. There's some JUCO visitors on the way to Blacksburg.
Visitors coming up this weekend. A small forward wing type, a power forward, and a center. Ty Outlaw goes to Lee College. He's a wing. I think he finished 12th in the country in scoring.
Please tell me he's the son of the other Ty Outlaw, Tyrone Outlaw.
He might be.
I really hope so.
I don't know. I don't know. I know he's from Roxboro, North Carolina.
Okay.
Which is just south of South Boston. And so it's pretty close.
Yeah.
And he originally went to UNC Greensboro.
Mm-hmm.
He's been to Castle Coliseum before because he beat Virginia Tech in it 2 years ago when he was playing for UNC Greensboro. I think he shot 43% from three-point range this past year, averaged 22 points per game, 6'5", 6'6", wing. Deshaun Freeman is originally from Rocky Mount, North Carolina,
okay.
I believe it is, which is
just
east of Raleigh.
Yep.
So about 4.5 hours away or so.
Is it 4.5? Is that far?
Nah, maybe 4. I don't know. Anyway, fairly close.
Yeah, fairly close.
Closer than the other schools that are recruiting him.
Right.
And he averaged about 19 points and 10 rebounds per game this past year for Hutchinson Junior College. He's a undersized power forward, about 6'7", 215, 220, kind of Brian Matthews size, but he's got a lot of energy. He's got some good post moves. Not necessarily a great shot, but he's a high-energy player. And then Johnny Hamilton is a 7-foot center prospect, originally from Trinidad, an island down in the Caribbean right off the coast of South America. He's not a polished offensive player at all, but I think he blocked 120 some shots in 26 games this year.
That's good, right?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
He brings an athleticism to Virginia Tech's front court that is not there currently.
Yeah.
And he brings a rebounding presence to Virginia Tech that is not there currently. So,
and that's important because I think Satchel Pierce can be a very solid big man.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm under no illusion he's going to be a great big man. You know,
right.
That could always change.
Right.
I don't think anyone thought Frank Kaminsky was going to be a great big man at any point in time. So, development is development, and it happens differently for different guys. But Satchel obviously needs help, down there.
The thing about Satchel is he doesn't have great hands, and he's not particularly athletic. What he can do is when he does catch the ball, he can finish around the basket. He's
right.
got some good low post moves. Hamilton doesn't really have a good offensive skill set like Satchel Pierce, but he's much more athletic. He's a better defender, things like that. So actually, they might complement each other pretty well.
Very well. Very well could. So, and then there was some news about a visitor next week, which sounds ideal when you talk about the spring game and how many fans will be there, and the NFL guys will be there. Be a chance for Buzz to take a kid over to that and say, look, hey, there's Cam Chancellor standing there, or whatever the case may be. It's a nice recruiting tool for basketball too.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, it's the first weekend of the open evaluation period, right?
They
can hit the road.
Yeah. So it's reported that Corey Bilberry, who's a transfer point guard from Oral Roberts, who would be eligible right away. I think it was Jeff Brazello who reported that he was visiting Tech next weekend. That might be a mistake because Most basketball staffs are out away from campus that weekend because it's their one of their two chances in April to go out and evaluate 16 and 17 prospects. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's accurate. I don't know, maybe if it's a mistake and he'll be here this weekend, or if it'll be a midweek visit, or maybe this visit won't even be till the next weekend. I don't know, but there's strong rumors of him visiting either way. And he's a guy who averaged 15 points, 7 rebounds this past year, 6'3", 200-pound point guard for Oral Roberts, and kind of a, I guess, probably a Jamon Gordon type if he's pulling down those kind of rebounding numbers as a 6'3 guard.
You mentioned point guard. Billsbury, I guess?
Yeah.
Look, I guess you always take talented guards if you can get them. I mean, they're not that easy to come by, but, I mean, you have Allen back there, and, you know, I don't know how they feel about Devin Wilson right now, but, you know, they're, I don't know, are they short on point guards to your mind?
I don't think they're short on point guards. I think maybe there might be some transfers occurring that we don't know about yet. I think that's very possible.
Could be.
It could also be possible that he doesn't view Bill Burry as a point guard. He could view him as a combo guard who could play either spot. And you know, we don't necessarily have a true two guard in this program right now. We got some 2/3s mm-hmm. and some 3/2s, but not necessarily a guy you look at them, he's definitely a two, and maybe Bill Burry could play that role. I don't know. So I think at this point you're just giving yourself options. I think the JUCO guys are the main targets, though.
Yeah, I hear you. Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com, joining us in the McAdoo studio. So, this is the first basketball offseason, you know, with Buzz Williams. I'm going to call it the first real basketball offseason, right? Because he came into a program that was a mess, and, you know, he had to get in and make a lot of fundamental changes, you know, just infrastructural fundamental changes to the program before he could ever really, I think, get moving, you know, and really get this thing pushed in the right direction. So, maybe that's not a
he had to put wheels on the car before
A good way. Yeah, exactly. And so this is what he's doing this year, and I don't know. I think if you're a fan, you're optimistic, and you should be, because that's what fans have to be, but I mean optimistic that you can see a good deal of improvement between year one and year two. I think that's possible, but I mean you will have some new faces, and mm-hmm. you mentioned transfers a second ago. I mean, do you, to your mind, when do you think you'd hear something like that?
I would expect you'd hear something within the next couple of weeks.
You think so, right?
Yeah. Just so the you don't want any. If you're a transfer and you want to leave, or you're thinking about leaving, you want to be able to find a landing spot. You don't want places to fill up, but and then you decide to transfer, and then nobody has a spot available.
Yep.
So I think you would. If there's going to be any more transfers, I think you'd hear about them within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, you think so? I guess we'll circle back to football really quickly before we let you go. Offensive line, just your general thoughts there, because I said earlier this week, just post-scrimmage thoughts, that there's still some concern, obviously, with this group, but they look like they're more cohesive and gelled than any offensive line I've seen there in 4 years, maybe 5 years, I don't know. The drop-off from the ones to the twos is still pretty dramatic,
yeah,
though. That's
yeah.
really, really concerning, because that means they're still one injury, maybe two away from being right back in the same boat as last year. And I still think Wade Hansen's development is going to be something to watch. That's going to be critically important for this offensive line. You have to have a competent, capable right tackle. If he can get it done, though, that first team looks like they could be pretty impactful.
Yeah, I agree with all those statements. I think overall they look more physical than they have been in the past. Even the backups, you know, I'm out there watching Colt Pettit and I'm watching Tyrell Smith, and those guys are playing physical. They don't necessarily know what they're doing all the time, but they're at least trying to play physical.
Yeah.
And as opposed to, oh, let me worry about my technique. Oh, I've got perfect technique as I'm getting driven 3 yards in the backfield. But like some of the tech linemen that came up under Kurt Newsom.
Yeah.
He was so much into technique that I think they sacrifice toughness and physical play and things like that. For Virginia Tech's current staff, Stacy Searles, the number one thing he wants you to do is be physical. We'll worry about the technique part of it later. I think the starting offensive line is a lot more physical. You know, let's just go over them one by one. Jonathan McLaughlin, good solid player. We
yep.
know what he can do.
Yep.
Wyatt Teller. Gallo looks like an upgrade at this point.
I think so, too.
I think he looks like an upgrade. Augie Connie looks like a guy who has gone through a year as a starter and has snaps under his belt. I worry about Wade Hansen and pass protection still, but, you know, he showed last year that he was a scrappy player who could at least be average as a run blocker just on pure scrappiness. And that was before he really ever got taught the technique of the position.
It was 25 pounds lighter.
And I
thought he handled himself fairly
well
against Dad Nicklaus last week.
He did.
Yeah.
So I'm I'm cautiously optimistic. Well, I was cautiously optimistic last week at this time. I'm more than cautiously optimistic now about that starting group. I think they've got a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But if, like you said, the depth is a big issue. Nijman intrigues me. Wyatt Teller says he's further ahead of him at the same stage. Wouldn't shock me if he played this year. I mean, he's second string right now. You don't see coaches redshirting second string offensive linemen.
No.
You just don't see that. And he's only 265 now, but when he enrolled, he was 277. So he's a guy who has the ability to put on or lose a lot of weight in a short amount of time. I could see him being 285, 290 by the time camp starts or by the time the season rolls around. So he seems to have picked things up rather quickly.
And bear in mind for folks out there, I mean, he prepped for a year, so he has that extra year of football under his belt, which mattered a lot. I mean, John McLaughlin could not have played his freshman year without that prep year.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And, you know, another thing that'll help him is you get Chong back after spring.
Yeah.
And you can plug him in there as your backup center, and then Colt Pettit is your backup right guard. And that pushes Tyrell Smith, who's a true freshman and a little undersized at this point, pushes him back to third string. You can redshirt him. And also, if Braxton Pfaff could get healthy, he was taking some second-team reps this past week at right guard, but then he had the blue jersey back on during the scrimmage and didn't play on Saturday. If he can get himself healthy, you know, I think he improves the depth there. There's a big drop-off between the starters and the backups. I do think the backups took a step forward. They were better in the last scrimmage than they were in the first scrimmage.
Right.
And also, a reason that there seems like there's such a drop-off is because the starters are better than they normally are.
Right.
That's part of it, too.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. We are unfortunately out of time. It's good to catch up with you.
We could do this all day long, but we'll do it again next week.
That's exactly right. We'll have a spring game to preview next Friday. That's Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joining us here in the McAdoo studios. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour two, but it's short. We're handing things over to Andrew Allegretta for Virginia Tech and number 22 North Carolina at English Field. 5:20 pregame, 5:30 first pitch. Keep it locked. The Super Sports 101.7.